Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, I got a bulletin on my phone this morning that later this evening, there is likely to be high wind gusts. I was awakened several times during the night by high wind gusts. So if the weather people are concerned that it might get windy and it's already doing this, I would say that's a warning we need to take seriously. Well, I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Zephaniah, one of the minor prophets. We've been looking at several of the minor prophets lately. I want you to look at the book of Zephaniah because Zephaniah gives a warning that is much more serious and much more certain than the warning from the weather service. Okay? This is not a weather forecast. This is the Word of God. Zephaniah chapter 1, and we're going to read right through his letter. Three chapters. This is God's word. "The word of the Lord that came to Zephaniah, son of Cushi, son of Gedaliah, son of Amariah, son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah. I will completely sweep away everything from the face of the earth. This is the Lord's declaration. I will sweep away people and animals. I will sweep away the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea and the ruins along with the wicked. I will cut off mankind from the face of the earth. This is the Lord's declaration. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the residents of Jerusalem. I will cut off every vestige of Baal from this place, the names of the pagan priests along with the priests, those who bow and worship on the rooftops to the stars in the sky, those who bow and pledge loyalty to the Lord, but also pledge loyalty to Milcom, and those who turn back from following the Lord, who do not seek the Lord or inquire of him. Be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. Indeed, the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guests. On the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials, the king's sons, and all who are dressed in foreign clothing. On that day, I will punish all who skip over the threshold, who fill their master's house with violence and deceit. On that day," this is the Lord's declaration, "there will be an outcry from the fish gate, a wailing from the second district, and a loud crashing from the hills. Wail, you residents of the hollow, for all the merchants will be silenced. All those loaded with silver will be cut off. And at that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who settle down comfortably, who say to themselves, 'The Lord will not do good or evil.' Their wealth will become plunder and their houses a ruin. They will build houses but never live in them, plant vineyards but never drink their wine. The great day of the Lord is near, near and rapidly approaching. Listen, the day of the Lord, then the warrior's cry is bitter. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of destruction and desolation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and total darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the high corner towers. I will bring distress on mankind, and they will walk like the blind, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood will be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Their silver and their gold will be unable to rescue them on the day of the Lord's wrath. The whole earth will be consumed by the fire of his jealousy, for he will make a complete, yes, a horrifying end of all the inhabitants of the earth. Gather yourselves together. Gather together, undesirable nation, before the decree takes effect and the day passes like chaff before the burning of the Lord's anger overtakes you, before the day of the Lord's anger overtakes you. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth who carry out what he commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be concealed on the day of the Lord's anger. For Gaza will be abandoned and Ashkelon will become a ruin. Ashdod will be driven out at noon and Ekron will be uprooted. Woe, inhabitants of the seacoast, nation of the Cherethites, the word of the Lord is against you. Canaan, land of the Philistines, I will destroy you until there is no one left. The seacoast will become pasture lands with caves for shepherds and pens for sheep. The coastlands will belong to the remnant of the house of Judah. They will find pasture there. They will lie down in the evening among the houses of Ashkelon, for the Lord their God will return to them and restore their fortunes. I've heard the taunting of Moab and the insults of the Ammonites who have taunted my people and threatened their territory. Therefore, as I live, this is the declaration of the Lord of armies, the God of Israel. Moab will be like Sodom, and the Ammonites like Gomorrah, a place overgrown with weeds, a salt pit, a perpetual wasteland. The remnant of my people will plunder them. The remainder of my nation will dispossess them. This is what they get for their pride, because they've taunted and acted arrogantly against the people of the Lord of armies. The Lord will be terrifying to them when he starves all the gods of the earth. Then all the distant coasts and islands of the nations will bow in worship to him, each in its own place. You Cushites will also be slain by my sword. He will also stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria. He will make Nineveh a desolate ruin, dry as the desert. Herds will lie down in the middle of it. Every kind of wild animal, both eagle owls and herons, will roost in the capitals of its pillars. Their calls will sound from the window, but devastation will be on the threshold, for he will expose the cedar work. This is the jubilant city that lives in security, that thinks to itself, I exist and there is no one else. What a desolation she has become, a place for wild animals to lie down. Everyone who passes by her scoffs and shakes his fist. Woe to the city that is rebellious and defiled, the oppressive city. She has not obeyed. She has not accepted discipline. She has not trusted in the Lord. She has not drawn near to her God. The princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are wolves of the night, which leave nothing for the morning. Her prophets are reckless, treacherous men. Her priests profane the sanctuary. They do violence to instruction. The righteous Lord is in her. He does no wrong. He applies his justice morning by morning. He does not fail at dawn. Yet the one who does wrong knows no shame. I have cut off nations. Their corner towers are destroyed. I've laid waste their streets with no one to pass through. Their cities lie devastated, without a person, without an inhabitant. I thought you would certainly fear me and accept correction. Then her dwelling place would not be cut off based on all that I had allocated to her. However, they became more corrupt in all their actions. Therefore, wait for me. This is the Lord's declaration. Until the day I rise up for plunder. For my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms in order to pour out my indignation on them. All my burning anger for the whole earth will be consumed by the fire of my jealousy. For I will then restore pure speech to the peoples so that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him with a single purpose. From beyond the rivers of Cush, my supplicants, my dispersed people, will bring an offering to me. On that day, you will not be put to shame because of everything you've done in rebelling against me. for then I will remove from among you your jubilant, arrogant people, and you will never again be haughty on my holy mountain. I will leave a meek and humble people among you, and they will take refuge in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel will no longer do wrong or tell lies. A deceitful tongue will not be found in their mouths. They will pasture and lie down with nothing to make them afraid. Sing for joy, daughter Zion. Shout loudly, Israel. Be glad and celebrate with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is among you. You need no longer fear harm. On that day it will be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is among you, a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will be quiet in his love. He will delight in you with singing. I will gather those who have been driven from the appointed festivals. They will be a tribute from you and a reproach on her. Yes, at that time I will deal with all who oppress you. I will save the lame and gather the outcasts. I will make those who were disgraced throughout the earth receive praise and fame. At that time I will bring you back. Yes, at the time I will gather you. I will give you fame and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes. The Lord has spoken. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Well, that's quite a forecast. This is what God says is coming. Now, as we've said before in looking at these various prophecies, there's a short-term view and there's a long-term view. There was a soon completed fulfillment and yet another fulfillment that would come. If you paid attention as we read that, you saw that on the one hand, God says to start with, I'm going to wipe out all mankind, not just in this region, but all over the earth. Even the animals. But then God speaks of survivors, of people who are going to be coming back, and God speaks of animals living in certain places. So is God confused here? Is the prophet confused? Or are we talking about, on the one hand, short term, the judgment that God was going to send on Judah if they didn't repent, which, by the way, they didn't, and they were hauled off to Babylon, and their city was destroyed, and the temple was destroyed? Or is God talking about another judgment later on, where he's going to deal with all of humanity? Well, let me give you 2 New Testament passages that shed further light on the long term. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 and following, God says, "See to it that you do not reject the one who speaks, for if they did not escape when they rejected him who warned them on earth, even less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven. His voice shook the earth at that time, but now he has promised, 'Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.'" This expression, "yet once more," indicates the removal of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what is not shaken might remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. By it we may serve God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And then in 2 Peter chapter 3, "Above all, be aware of this. Scoffers will come in the last days, scoffing and following their own evil desires, saying, 'Where is the coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors fell asleep, all things continue as they have been since the beginning of creation.' They deliberately overlook this. By the word of God, the heavens came into being long ago, and the earth was brought about from water and through water. Through these, the world of that time perished when it was flooded. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are stored up for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly." Dear friends, don't overlook this one fact. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will burn and be dissolved, and the earth and the works on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, it is clear what sort of people you should be in holy conduct and godliness as you wait for the day of God and hasten its coming. Because of that day, the heavens will be dissolved with fire and the elements will melt with heat. But based on his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells." Folks, this somewhat obscure, often overlooked prophet Zephaniah, just 3 short chapters in the Old Testament, is telling us that God's judgment is coming, and the short-term fulfillment was God's wrath poured out on Jerusalem, which is spoken of here, but the long-term fulfillment is what is spoken of in Hebrews, and what is spoken of in 2 Peter 3, and what is spoken of elsewhere in the New Testament. God's wrath will be poured out on the earth. And you're either going to be protected or you're not. Who's going to be spared? Those who walk humbly before God, who are devoted to him, who are trusting in him. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 that there are going to be a lot of people in that day, you are going to say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? And didn't we do this? And didn't we do this? And didn't we do this?" And he says, "I'll say to them, 'Depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness.'" Well, how can that be? These were preachers. These were people who claimed to be Christian, who did things in the Lord's name. And he says, "I never knew you." But if you look at where their trust was, what was going on? Their whole defense before God is a litany of what they did for him. If you think you're going to go to heaven because of what you're doing for God, you're not going to heaven. But if you know that you have sinned against God, that you deserve his wrath, and you cry out to him for mercy, that is God's grace at work in your life, drawing you to repentance. But the scriptures warn us that there are those who say the right thing, but they really aren't grateful for what God has done because they just continue to live in sin. Now, I would be unkind and I would be disobedient to God's call if I didn't warn you that judgment is coming. God says it. But God has provided refuge in Christ Jesus. Apart from him, there is no hope. There's not someplace else you can go. Zephaniah says, those who have silver, who are loaded with silver, will be cut off. God says he's going to punish those who settle down comfortably, saying to themselves, the Lord will not do good or evil. In other words, God is just irrelevant to this whole thing. God's not involved. I do what I want. Life goes on. What an idiotic form of logic. God has made his truth abundantly clear. And if you want to ignore his truth and give him a list of rules to follow, if he wants you to cooperate, you can forget it. God is not your lackey. He's not your servant. He is your king. He is your creator. And so it is the mercy and grace of God that before he sends his judgment, he not only warns us, but he waits. The Bible makes it clear that God is patiently waiting to give opportunity for more people to repent. Do you realize some of you would not have been ready 2 years ago? Amen? And some of you aren't ready right now. God knows the condition of your heart. But I plead with you, while you have the opportunity, recognize what God is warning of. Judgment will come. These people experienced in their lifetime a taste of God's wrath and God's restoration. God brought his wrath on Jerusalem and God preserved a remnant. But God says to us still today, learn from history. Learn how a group of people can see themselves as invincible and be brought low. Even a group like these people who, as Zephaniah records, praise the Lord and pledge their allegiance to him, but also to Milcom, one of the demon gods. Folks, let me tell you, we've got a ton of that in our culture. We got a ton of people in our culture, in our churches, who profess faith in God, who would say, I believe the Bible's true. But they also worship other things. And by the way, not to just pick on one group, one of the biggest forms of idolatry in this part of the country is sports idolatry. People who are much more excited about how their team is doing than they are about Jesus. I thank God that he has given us some wonderful examples, even in the realm of athletics, of people who excel in athletics and point to Jesus as the one who matters. Because if you put those two things as if they're about equally important, you have completely, completely gone off the rails. There are people who pledge their loyalty to God, and yet their heart belongs to sports, or to music, or to money, or to their relatives. Only Jesus. He's the only one who can save. And he requires that you give him everything. no contest. You yield your all to Him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.